turn to the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. It is a blessing, with the pandemic being over, that we can gather together as the people of God. Malachi reminds us, they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and put in a book for them that thought on the Lord. It's not an exact quote, but it's Malachi 3:16. Just want to read a story, make a few points, and perhaps the Lord will lay on someone else's heart something to follow. It's a story that has come back to me over many years, because God seeth not as man seeth. Men look upon the outward appearance. God looks upon the heart. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. We live in a world that offers everything you can possibly imagine in the click of a button. Wisdom, knowledge, history, tips, tricks, solutions, remedies. But God gives us His Word, which lives and abides forever. And God would seek to garden, as our brother has mentioned, in each one of our hearts, that which is for His glory. For without Him, we can do nothing. He wants us to bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. In 2 Chronicles 20, I'm going to start by reading a couple of verses and expressions from the previous chapter. This is about King Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 19, I'll start and read verse 7. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set the Levites of the priests and of the chiefs of the fathers of Israel for the judgments of the Lord and for controversies. When they returned to Jerusalem, and he charged them, saying, Thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. The end of verse 11, deal courageously, and the Lord shall be with the good. Chapter 20, and it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that there is none able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession,
which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken, ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed, by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high, and they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, that they should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. For the children of Ammon stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, every one helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berechiah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berechiah unto this day. And they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of the Lord was in all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. God's word is our food. It's our light. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's our guidebook. It's all that we need. I think it was Job that said, "Your word was unto me." Maybe it was Jeremiah, "The joy and the rejoicing of my heart." God's word is all that we need through this world. This world has got the whole internet to try to tell you everything that they think you need to know. But we have the living, abiding Word of God. Sometimes what men consider wisdom is just natural wisdom.
First Corinthians. Just read a few verses to connect with this chapter.
First Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because as the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of this world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. There's more in the next chapter, but you can read it yourself later. What I'd like to convey in this story in 2 Chronicles is, don't worry about what the world thinks. Worry only about what God thinks, what is written in this book, and God will win. God will triumph. God is seeking to produce fruit for his glory from his people. And thankfully, we have the freedom to gather here together. And men are rewriting history. They're reinventing things that they think belong in this culture. And what do we find? That they were given instructions, very clear instructions in 2 Chronicles. They were told to, thus shall you do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. Faithfully and with a perfect heart. But guess what? When God works, the wrath of the enemy is raised up in our flesh and our failures. We can turn to the things of the world to solve the ways of God. God's ways are higher than ours. God's wisdom, if we fear the Lord, we fear nothing else. Joshua could say, just be strong and courageous. Moses, my servant, is dead. He wrote the books of Moses, and so were they afraid? Perhaps they were, but what did they have? There's some instructions, and I want to leave plenty of time for others, so I'll just hit a few of them because it's God's word that feeds, but I just want to point them out. We need to fear the Lord. When we're trying to evaluate something, we need to say, what is to be for the fear of the Lord? In verse 3 of 2 Chronicles 20, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Asking you shall receive. Seeking you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open unto me. And he proclaimed a fast. We need to set aside our natural pleasures. How many natural pleasures are there? There's a food you want, if there's some toy, if there's something, it can be ordered from your office. It can be at your front doorstep by tomorrow. But God has given us what we need right here and right now. He's given us wisdom. They proclaimed a fast. You know, not like the Pharisees fast. Not that anyone else needs to know, but he proclaimed a fast and they gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Nothing wrong with going to a good doctor. Nothing wrong with a specialist. You know, my mother's car got an oil change yesterday and I didn't want to do it myself. We need experts, but we need the Lord first and foremost and always to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities. Every single member is useful. Every single one. The ones we think are not necessary, they're even more useful. Every member is needful. What we do is not measured by how we care for the rich and the powerful and the wealthy. It's by what we do for those who are the most in need. The most in places of sorrow and places of difficulty. They sought the help of the Lord. They came to seek the Lord. He recounted, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Oh, how many times ones have said, oh, what about the election in 2024? This book, in God's leadership, and God's wisdom, is really all that is enough. God will reign no matter what happens in the courts of the Supreme Court or in the elections of this country or Canada or anywhere else. God reigns. He must reign until all authority be put under his feet. He sits at the seat of power of the universe, and we need to look to him for help, for wisdom, as Jehoshaphat did. Art not thou our God who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land? And he recounts history. God's word, the history matters. God's word is very clear. When they were fallen to sin, they would be defeated. They would go into captivity. And yet they were delivered. God brought them back maybe 42,000. That's not much. They couldn't even fill a lot of sports stadiums. 42,000 came back, but they came back in Ezra and Nehemiah, in Haggai and Malachi, and they were exhorted. They were exhorted to follow the instructions, the wise instructions. And Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Never give up on your children, your grandchildren. Never, never give up. As long as there's breath, there's hope. God is able to save, and even to the uttermost, those that come unto God by him. The battle is not yours, but God's. They came to the cliff of Ziz, and you shall find them at the end of the brook. Sometimes we are at our wit's end in Psalm 107. They cried to the Lord once, twice, three times, four times, five times, 43 verses. And after the fifth time, they cried to the Lord. And let me just read it. I don't want to misquote it. They cried to the Lord five times, and we need to persist. Remember when Elisha came to the prophet and he smote his sword in a couple times and he said, you know, if you'd done it five or six times, you would have won. You just did it a couple times. If you'd done it five or six times, you would have won. Don't give up. Don't give up. God has got a path. If we look for him and we persist and we cling to him, we look to him, we're guided by him, by his holy word. It says in verse 20, he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men, and let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind which lifted up the waves thereof. Do we not know that when the storm comes, when the trouble comes, he commands the stormy wind that lifts up the waves thereof? It is from himself. He's the one who raises the gourd, and he's the one who sends the worm. It's from him, from his hand. Look not at the object, but ask why the Lord allowed it. He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. And they go, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm. so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet.
How much quiet do we have? 24/7 alerts, things from every imaginable device. Sometimes we need quiet. Quiet before the Lord. It took a couple of prayers this morning. We need as many prayers as we need, because in the quietness, in the presence of the Lord, there is strength and there is wisdom. When flesh is put in the place of death, when we have the wisdom of the Word of God, then they are glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. For the last verse of this chapter, who is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. God loves us in what He provides that is according to His mind, but He also loves us in what He withholds that would harm us or maybe even destroy us. He loves us more than we can possibly imagine. We have to trust Him always. And He brings things in our culture, in our consciousness, in our lives, in our families to draw us to Himself. To reveal Himself. Verse 17 of chapter 20. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And he bowed his head with his face to the ground. And then they also fell to the ground. We need to sometimes fall at His feet. We need to worship Him. Maybe others will see something of the character of Christ in what we do, in what we say. In the Levites, the Kohathites, the Korahites, they stood to praise the Lord with a loud voice, and they rose early in the morning and they went forth. And just in the interest of time, I'll skip forward. Verse 21, He consulted with the people. He appointed singers that they should praise the beauty of holiness. Sometimes in prayer and in praise, you know, in the Psalms we have pain, we have petitions, we have prayer, we have praise. We feel pain, we have petitions. Sometimes they're selfish, but we need to be in prayers so that we can then praise the Lord. Praise Him in the storm, praise Him for the suffering, praise Him for the sorrow, praise Him for the things that make no sense to us, because God's ways transcend our ways. And they went out saying, praise the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. And they began to sing and to praise. And the Lord said, ambushments. We don't need to learn military strategy. We need to read God's Word, which has Ephesians 6. We need to have the armor of the Lord on. We need to have the wisdom of God. And then they defeated each other. Let God fight for us. But we have to come to Him. We have to cry to Him. We have to look to Him. It says, none escaped. Nothing escapes the attention of God. Nothing, good nor evil. When we have to live in the presence of God. On the fourth day, they assembled themselves and they blessed the Lord. And they returned every man to Judah, to Jerusalem, for the Lord had made them to rejoice. Our joy needs to come from Him. Oh, there were times when if my team didn't win, oh, it would take me a couple of days to recover from that. Our joy needs to come totally, wholly, absolutely from Him, because our flesh is we're going to have it until we're called home. We have to be so careful. The Lord made them to rejoice, and they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets, and the fear of the Lord was in all the kingdoms when they heard the Lord had fought the enemies of Israel. Look to Him. Let Him fight for you. His triumph is what matters. What we can do is seek wisdom, gather together, share, and stand upon His Word. This world will tell us to do 101 things and then more. And there is natural wisdom in practical things when it comes to the things we need to take care of. But when it comes to the things of God, when it comes to our life choices, we need Him. We need His Word. We need His power. And we need in humility cry to him and ask for his help.